Coming up on Call the Midwife After Show, while soon-to-be father George is craving bacon, Sister Monica Joan goes matchmaking, and Sister Frances is told to make him naked. All that and more in just a moment.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Okay, welcome everybody. Thank you for joining us for the Call Midwife After Show. This is series season 8, episode 5. I'm John Comerford, joined in the studio by Tamara Berg.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, my goodness.
That How about that?
Yeah, it was. Okay. What? Oh, that was funny.
We don't have Courtney with us this week because she had...
We don't need to get into why. She's just,
No, it's fine. She just can't make it. There are things happening.
Exactly.
She might join in on the chat. If you guys are on the live chat, you might see her. So engage if you get a chance.
Yeah, as you will.
We're going to continue on.
And we'll get to everything in the show. And then at the end of the show, we're going to follow up with our conversation we started last week about a closer look. We want to get some of your comments in there.
Yes,
so we'll
indeed.
Talk about those as well. So stay tuned for that.
Yes.
But first and foremost, how did you feel about this episode? We talked about last episode and the last couple. Give me your overall thoughts.
I enjoyed it. I mean, it's hard to say I enjoyed something that was so heart-wrenching, but you know, there were some really incredibly powerful moments. I've got lots of tear stains on my notes. And overall, I thought it was a really good episode. You?
Yeah, I didn't know. I liked this. I thought what was really good for me was that, you know, I was presented with something that I never really thought about before, the way they presented the storyline with Lois and stuff, and just the idea that her whole sense of who she is shifts.
Right.
And we'll get to that, but I thought that was very, very interesting and something different from the show, because it really didn't have to, well, it kind of had to do with birth and babies, but it wasn't that so much as it was more about identity.
Who we are. And that's
that was the
first
whole, exactly,
the opening. Yeah.
Which I found fascinating, and to explore it that way, I just, you know, it makes sense. It just, it wasn't something that I'd actually sat and seen in a TV show and that presented this way before. So I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah.
I also liked that we had never seen anybody with sympathy pains, or at least not to this degree.
Right.
Which I thought, you know, again, it was like, okay, that's great. We haven't, and I thought, wow, I don't remember that being explored.
We did have a phantom pregnancy at the Christmas, the African Christmas,
right?
Episode. There was I don't remember if they called it a phantom pregnancy or sympathetic pregnancy, we did have something similar, but certainly not in a spouse.
Yeah, exactly.
In one of the men. So that was definitely different.
And then we also have the dating going on. Is it, what is it, spring here? Do you know what's happening? Is this the rutting season? What's happening?
Hey.
So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
So let's talk, since we already, let's dive in with the Lois and Paul storyline. You know, they're doing the whole, and there's, the other thing was that they're doing the whole, cervical.
Right, which just makes me laugh. Can we just talk about that?
Yes, across the pond we say cervical. So cervical.
And with a British accent, I would have thought it would be cervical.
Yeah, something.
Cervical was not how I thought it would come out.
And, you know, the first couple times I heard it say, I honestly was hearing them say cervical as if that was a
He's a count?
Cervical.
He's the lord of the manor?
Yes, but it also came with cervical test or cervical smear, which is an odd name. So I thought that was good. But anyway, regardless.
Cervical smear. I wonder what his hairdo is like.
I don't. It's a lot of product in it.
Yeah.
All right. So, let's talk. That's why Lois comes to the clinic, so to speak, the surgery.
Yeah.
Because actually, it's her mother's supposed to be there, but she's not going to make it. So she
impersonates her mom.
She said, gives it up right away. It's not, you know, I'm, you know, it's not my mom. It's me. And she goes just because she's trying to be, preventative, forward thinking. I'm not exactly sure the right terminology for that is, but she goes because she wants to make sure everything is okay.
Because she's getting married in a month.
And, you know, things are going to happen in a month.
Yes, exactly.
So they expect that anyway. And of course, we learned later that the reason why she wants to check that everything is okay is because she knows
not okay.
Yeah,
so very not okay.
Very quickly into the examination, I guess it was a Dr. Turner that does the first examination.
Well, the first thing she says is, "I've never had a period."
Is that what she says to Trixie? I thought it was after the.
No, in my notes anyway, it was she's never had a period, and I'm getting married in a month.
Yeah,
and he says that he can't feel her cervix, and she has a short vagina.
Yeah, so which is going to make things very challenging if they want to have children.
Right.
But, you know, and that, I was like, okay. And then, you know, refers her to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
But even in that first consultation, so to speak, when all, you know, the pelvic smears and all the other things that happened, pap test, is that was.
They call them cervical smears.
Okay, thank you.
Right, cervical smears, we call them pap tests, okay. Whatever, yeah.
So, but she's aware that something's not up. That's why she wants to check right. on this. But immediately I'm going, it could be, you know, kind of, is this, what the storyline is. And I didn't go, you know, I haven't heard of a no womb, and I don't know that story.
Right, but if you'll remember, we did talk a couple weeks ago about that there was some sort of foreshadowing. I don't remember if we read it in the news, uh-huh. but that there might be the, you know, hermaphrodite.
Oh, right. Yes. We did mention that, right?
Case coming mm-hmm. up. So, mm-hmm. so this is potentially it. Yeah. So she goes to St. Cuthbert's and has an exam.
The worst exam ever.
Okay.
I thought it was great that the way they juxtaposed the way, you know, how Dr. Turner handled it and his bedside manner, as opposed to going to the hospital.
And Trixie helping, you know, being so kind and compassionate as these women always are.
Exactly.
Yeah. So she's, you know, first of all, I mean, from the very start of her connection with or lack of connection with the doctor, she's sitting in the waiting room, you know, rubbing her, I don't know, metal or
St. Christopher, whatever what it was. Yeah.
And he calls her name, Miss Perry, mm-hmm. tapping his toes. For God's sake, are you coming in or what? I mean, that was what his sort of attitude was. And
He's got rounds to make. This is a teaching institution.
So she comes in, she, you know, and he, there's no bedside manner. He's positively rude to her.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, he is. And this is why I was really hoping that Courtney could join us today, because I wanted the two of you to speak to this.
Yeah.
Again, I thought the juxtaposition, the way Dr. Turner and Trixie handled it, and the way this other doctor, I don't even know his name, but he was horrible.
No.
And the manner in which he actually dealt with her physically was, you know,
brusque.
With her knees and, uh-huh. you know, and the whole thing. And then, and I get it, it's a teaching institution, but I just think, I get you, you are, but you have a patient right there. Does the patient
it's
not
a human, a, you know.
Not just a case. And,
Exactly. It's a human, and, not a case.
And the way he's talking to the other, quote, doctors or interns, whatever they are. So do you notice anything just staring you in the face and just everything? And even with a point where he says, okay, now just relax.
It's just relax. It wasn't just relax. It was just relax. Like, for God's sake, relax.
And I'm going.
Courtney in the chat is saying he was shameful.
It was absolutely. Hi, Courtney. Hi, Courtney. I'm glad you were able to join.
Yeah.
It was horrible. And I was mortified as I'm watching it. And I was just, I'm trying to find the humor in it because it's so mortifying.
Right. Like, and she was crying.
It was terrible.
Like, not even, terrible. Not just silent crying with the tears rolling down your face. She was like sobbing. And that was an incredibly upsetting scene. Yeah. And every woman and a lot of men who, you know, have been commenting on it were just talking about how just, you know, unnecessary and inhuman in a certain way.
And
it was terrible.
Where's the whole part about doctors being healers? And I know. It's
do no harm.
But I don't know how difficult would it have been to not be that way? Because, I mean, clearly it wouldn't have taken much.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So, yeah, I really wanted your guys' take on that because we always have good takes from you gals.
Okay. Oh, good gracious. So she leaves
crying, mortified again, and crying all the way back to
exactly.
the surgery.
She goes to see Dr. Turner. Trixie gets there.
He's not there.
And she says, he didn't tell me what he was doing or why.
Yeah. Yeah,
like, you know, completely, again, treated her as a case, not as a patient or a person.
And exactly the opposite of the way she was treated before.
Yeah.
And then it gets, you know, that's where she learns that she has
testicular feminization syndrome.
Yeah. So outwardly she appears female. Inwardly she has male sex hormones and
male parts.
Right.
Organs.
Yeah.
Right. So Dr. Turner goes over it with her in sort of broad strokes, mm-hmm. and then says, you know, if you have more questions, I'm going to leave the room and let Trixie help you out here.
Exactly.
Which just, I mean, was, I thought that was great.
It was, especially yeah. because everybody in the other hospital, they're all men in there, you know, they, you know, anyway, I thought the way they did the juxtaposition was great. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was perfectly illustrated. And I'm laughing at how uncomfortable it was. And all the time I'm thinking, oh, Tammy and Courtney have got some things to say about this.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, all right. But thankfully, Trixie's there to help her through it. But she, you know, Lois is inconsolable. It won't look at the invitations. There's a whole other thing going on there because she just... that's where I started going, man, I don't know what I would do. I mean, her whole sense of identity. How do you... Yes, you aren't different, except this thing is completely...
Has changed you.
Exactly. And how do you bounce back from that? How do you...
Reconcile.
Yes.
Yeah. She says, I'm not the person he thinks I am, which right. also makes her feel like she's not the person she thinks she is either.
Clearly. And not.
Right.
To some degree, because, you know, they had this idea that they'd go on, get married, have kids, whole thing.
Right.
And now that's not a possibility. And I can't do that. And that's what we discussed and talked about and dreamed about.
Yeah.
What is it for me?
So in her conversation with Trixie, she says, I feel like a woman, mm-hmm. but I still like to dress up you know, do my mm-hmm. hair and that kind of thing. I can't even understand this. How can Paul understand
yeah.
it? Mm-hmm. Right. So she breaks up with him.
Yeah. She white fangs him, as they say. That's
yes.
She white
I'm so glad
him.
You said that.
Yeah. White fan for anyone who don't know, that's when you just you make it look so horrible and you so that they want to break up with you.
Right.
You make it so mean or uncomfortable or whatever it is, whatever you have to do to get them to want to leave.
And it's a total lie.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Total it's lie. You sacrificing yourself for the good of the that's other right. person, yeah, basically.
Exactly. And she in that conversation, she says you deserve someone better, someone who can make you happy, because in her mind, she can't.
Yeah, I don't have those feelings for you anymore.
Yeah.
Find someone who can make you happy, because I can't. And mm. then the scissors come out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the other thing I was more of. I started laughing.
Yep.
I was like, oh, Tammy's got something to say.
Yep. Yeah. Okay, so first of all, the scissors come out, and I'm mm-hmm. like, what is
yeah,
she going to do?
Oh, no, please don't. Yeah.
Right? So what is she going to do? And then she takes the scissors to the wedding dress. Being someone who has made
a
couple of wedding dresses, mm-hmm. I practically cried at that. I really did, because I was like, oh, look at the head. Oh, look at the eyes.
Yeah.
Right. Was that the most emotional part of the episode for you, Tamara?
It was, yeah. Yeah. But in contrast to what we thought was going to happen with those scissors, because I was thinking, it's like, oh, my God, the part of her that is not who she is right beneath the surface. And I thought, honestly, I thought she was going
right.
to remove them
right.
or something. Like, it's like, no, this can't, they can't, not, you just won't, they wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, that's a little... Yeah.
So when the dress started
You were happy it was the
I
dress.
Was. I was saying, oh, my God, thank God it's just the dress.
No, yes, of course. I mean, because that is what yeah. I thought as
and,
well.
But the second thought I had was, oh, the fashion people, I mean, Monica. Anyway, so, yeah. Thankfully, it was just the dress. But
the dress represents
so symbolic,
that whole...
Absolutely.
Right, exactly.
And then when Mom comes in and finds it and just shreds
What have
on
you
the floor,
done?
Exactly. And what would your dad think? And I also was thinking, oh, my God, the money. I mean, all the money that was spent on the wedding is not going to happen.
Right.
It's not going to come back. And it was just, meaning that's what... I'm sure that's why she said, what would your dad think?
Yeah, your dad would roll over
yeah,
in his grave.
Because, I mean, all yeah. this huge event, and then you just... Yeah.
I'm not getting married. The wedding is off. No. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Mom.
Mom immediately blames him.
Exactly. I'm going to, right, first. And right. then second, mm-hmm. when she finds out really what's going on, mm-hmm. she, Mama Bears,
oh,
and
yeah.
goes over to tell Monica Jones, Sister Monica Joan off.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, hi, Lee. I'm glad to see you on the chat. We never get to see the chat, so
yeah,
it's really
okay.
nice to see that. Hi, Lee. Yeah, okay, so...
Yeah, she goes, tearing into Monica Joan. And, you know, here Monica
right.
Joan, of course, Kit does not know what the heck's going on. Just completely...
totally caught off guard.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, she, in her typical Sister Monica Joan, at such late an hour, how can I help you? You know, very formal, very welcoming. And boy, she gets an earful.
Oh, she's ambushed.
Yeah. And Sister Julian comes right away. And I love how Sister Julian just, you know, shut it down.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With great dignity.
Yeah.
Acknowledging that this was an inappropriate exchange, diffusing it.
She did. She did
everything exactly,
and then invites her in. That was the strange. It's like
that was a little weird.
Yeah, no, yeah, because I'm going. Usually, you said you'd close the door, but of course she can't. She's not going to.
She's
do
a
that.
Nun. She's well, not going
to.
Do
I know,
that.
But that's why I was like, oh, that's right, right. Yeah. She's there to serve and stuff. But I thought, wow, I was waiting for the door to close.
No.
And I forgot, wait, this is Sister Julian, so that's not going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's when we learned that I didn't, you know, the whole thing about Monica Joan being the nurse.
Yeah, it's midwife. So interesting how many of these mothers remember who birthed their babies.
Exactly.
Because they, you know, you are the one who, you know, was there for my...
Right.
Or you were... Whatever. And,
okay,
anyway,
so
it's always interesting.
Okay, when you heard her saying, well, she should have known, and it's like... Exactly.
Sorry, I didn't mean to shriek like
were
that.
Were you screaming at the TV? How could she know?
How could she
you
know?
You were her mother and you didn't know. You know, of course, and then that's a subtext because you find out later that that's what she was upset about the whole time is that as a mother, how could she not know this?
She herself.
Yes, exactly.
Bronwyn,
yeah. But she finally got there. So was,
yeah. She told me she was a girl. All right. So then the next chapter, Lois attempts suicide and will not wake up.
Yeah. Or, you know, and again, it kind of, how many, is that happening so often right now?
Right.
So it's just a reflection of what's going on. Yeah.
So as she is revived, and as she's recovering, Trixie is at her bedside, talks about how our bodies are only part of who we are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all of these other things that, you know, Trixie can relate to, Trixie can speak to, you know, she has, I mean, everybody has pain.
Yeah.
And so, you know, really helping her through it. Lois gets out of the hospital after her date with Charcoal.
Yeah.
And comes home and P.S. just looked very pretty. I loved quick fashion side
detour.
Note. I loved that. Courtney, didn't you love that sweater with the twist on it and all the buttons? She was wearing like a fuchsia or red, I can't remember, dress and sort of a golden sweater in that scene. And it was just, it was great. It was a great combo. It was a beautiful outfit.
I'm going to trust you implicitly on that.
Thank you. Paul's waiting there at the apartment.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Waiting to talk to her. And, you know, and did you think they were going to have it out right then? Or did, it was like, oh,
well,
man,
you know. The mom is just sort of like, you know, there he is. Go talk to him. Everything's going to be fine. And, you
what
know,
do you say?
Lois is like, well, I'll talk to him, but it nothing as far as like the last decision made is going to change. Mm-hmm. I will talk to him. I will explain to him why I white fanged him. but the truth of the matter is we're still not getting married because I am still.
Yeah.
Not the woman he thought I was.
Exactly.
And not somebody.
And what is it? Does she say it to her mother? She says, you know, she said you don't have to. Somebody told her that you don't have to talk.
I don't
her.
Have,
you
to, have tell to tell anyone.
And was it anyway? So, but when that came up, I go, yeah. How
Trixie told that to Lois. Okay. Lois told that to her mother.
Because how do you start that conversation? How does that? I mean, you know, you can't even figure it out yourself. You can't process this information yet. It's not like it's going to just.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, yeah. I was heading in this trajectory. That's all done. And now let me just chart a new course like that.
Yeah.
So how do you do that? So
I felt like it took an incredible amount of courage for her to go and, you know, really reveal to Paul what was going on.
Right.
And you know, stand by what she knew was going to be more heartbreak.
Right.
You know, that, I mean, that was how she was going into it. Whereas mom was going into it going, you know, go talk to Paul. Everything's going to be fine. You know, I'm sitting here going, it's not going to be fine.
Yeah.
It's not even going to be okay. Right. It's still going to be bad.
Well,
and
yeah, I think mom's.
Then...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I just think mom's trying to do everything she could to just be positive and just be accepting and just because she doesn't want her child to die.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Exactly. Or die or be devastated for the rest of her life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
And
Paul, schmuck that he is, the way he handles it is horrible.
Stupid Paul. What does he know?
Yeah, exactly. That,
she says, I'm sorry. And he says, I still love you. what?
And she, of course, is not. She says, well, disbelieving, a little incredulous to begin with.
Yeah.
About the whole thing, because how could...
And do you realize what all this means, yeah, basically, she says. Yeah, you know, this is not the life that we dreamed for ourselves. Yeah. Like...
Yeah. Yeah, I thought there's so many great lines in the scene.
From but soup to nuts. It's not the life we expected.
All right, but I liked so many lines in this, especially when she says, you know, I can't have children. And he says, I didn't marry you to have children.
I don't want to get married because of I want children. I'm getting married because I want
you. So, yeah. So,
whatever.
And you're crying, melting right there?
No. I mean, like, it's welling up like it is right mm-hmm. now, but this was the one that killed me.
Yeah.
If you're not made like other people, it just makes you more precious to me. Like, burst out tears, like, pew, out of my eyes. And I shouted, stop it! Because, I mean, that was such a, right? Courtney, Paul was in real love, so much love, as Anna mm-hmm. says. Just, like, the purity of the core of what he saw in her.
Right. I thought it was more, how do I say this? What was so fascinating is that she obviously knew that he loved her, but she thought he loved her only as one way, only as this one kind of person, this kind of
yes.
being, if this life could work out for them and stuff like that.
Yes.
And then she got to see, no, the depth of his love. She got to see that, which I thought was very interesting. Because I don't think it was even in her thinking or possibility that he could love her for any other reasons.
Right. Right, because it was...
Yeah.
This was the course that we were planning.
Yeah.
And now that has been obliterated in her mind. Mm-hmm. And, oh, look, he comes out with... Yeah. Now, wait a second. Can't we find another way? What was the line?
No, she says that, and he says, I'm already looking.
I'm already looking.
Yeah. So.
Stop.
Again, another exactly. I know. So many great lines. I thought that was a great scene.
Just incredibly beautiful. Mm-hmm. Right, unconditional love. Yeah. Now Jeff's crying in the booth.
It was amazing. And you know, so much of it I'm going, yeah, well, how hard was that? Why can't this in general as a society, how hard is that? I mean, can't that be possible?
We're going to heal all the ills of the world with
sure, why not?
Kindness and compassion.
Just
and
by
call
the example
midwife.
Of Paul.
Exactly. Example, seriously.
Yeah. St. Paul.
That's what I was just thinking. Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. Now right. I'm so, crying.
It was. Yeah.
And, so.
Yeah, go ahead.
Are we done with that topic?
Well, was there any more to it? What did they have in the resolution on that one? I don't know that they have. I think that was it.
Oh, yeah. Right? So Courtney says, I love that they gave the guy that moment.
Yes.
Again.
Yes, yes. Again, it was, you know, because, you know, a lot of times we get the guys that, well, for instance, like George, whenever we get the guys that can't handle anything.
Right.
Yeah. So, but it was nice to see.
Yeah. It was really beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
The end. So before we go into our next topic, guys, I just want to thank you all once again for checking out the podcast and making AfterBuzz the ESPN of TV talk. We always want to continue to grow, and with that, we need your guys' help. Please hit the subscribe button on YouTube if you're watching us on YouTube Live right now. Also, subscribe and rate us on iTunes. We like the high ratings, but we understand. We're not gonna beg for them. We're not going to coerce you into them.
Well, I'll beg.
Oh, you'll beg?
Yeah,
okay.
Sure, why not? Please?
I mean, generally speaking, people like the show. That's why they're going to be here anyway. And leave us comments. We'll talk about the comments a little bit later.
Yes, we'll talk about those too.
But we really want to thank you all for hanging with us. I love our British TV family, because you guys do feel like family to us. So really appreciate it. Hang with us, and thank you for supporting us in what we love to do.
All right, we got to get to Pam and George.
Yes,
talk about.
Pam and George.
Pam and George.
Okay.
So Pam, now this is it's slightly different. This is now a couple who's had a pregnancy before, and that unfortunately didn't happen to term. So they didn't have a child. So this is their second one, and they're, you know, obviously
high alert,
anxious, nervous, all that stuff that goes with it. But Pam seems to be in great spirits about the whole thing.
Yeah.
She seems to be really excited, of course.
Present,
yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little, I don't know, jealous, but, you know, it seems that she might have some good reason to be.
Right. Sorry, I'm just reading the chat comments from well, just a couple of wrap-up from Anna that, you know, Anna's talking about how in that last story.
Oh, okay.
That Paul, you know, seeing beyond the cover of the book.
Right.
And and Courtney says, kind of like when they let the dad come back and clap for his wife a few episodes ago, right, when exactly. she got the applause.
And I want to just go back, since you were, since we've gone back to Lawrence and Paul, I just carrying the theme about who we are and stuff, and
yeah.
seeing people who they are. Because we not only got to learn who Lois, quote, is, you know,
right.
in a fuller sense,
yeah.
we got to also see who Paul really
yes!
is.
So I thought Thank that was you.
A great way to do the theme as well. Who are we? And so we got to see Paul as he really is, too.
Stop, so you're going to make me cry
so,
again.
Right, so we gotta
no, get, but truly, that's I love that you brought that up.
So
yeah.
Let's talk about Pam and George. So
okay.
we know that Pam, she's pregnant for the second time, but she notices that her husband is acting a little odd. I thought that when they have the dinner sequence together and there's just, you just know there's something up, there's some trouble in paradise, but we don't know what it is.
What'd you have for lunch? Bacon and eggs. It's like that old yeah. commercial. Yeah. He never liked bacon really before.
Yeah. It's like, and all of a sudden he's bacon craving. So, yeah.
I ate at the cafe because yeah. I was hungry then. I'm not hungry now. Mm-hmm. He's not eating dinner. Mm-hmm. And we think immediately,
yeah.
oh, there's hanky-panky going on.
Yeah. Well, we saw them. Let's face it. When we saw them, you know, with Cafe
Sandy,
Girl.
Sandy Lawrence.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like, yeah, there did seem to be some flirting going on.
Yep.
But, you know,
and he doesn't show up to class.
No,
he doesn't show up to
class.
Baby bathing class.
That's right. And, you know, Pam confided in Hilda. That
yeah.
She knows something, or she thinks. Is this before or after she sees him at the cafe?
After she sees him at the yeah, cafe, okay. she talks to Sister Hilda. She thinks he's having an affair. Yeah, he never exactly. liked bacon before, and he's getting fat. yeah. And side note, we see yeah. George has stomach pains.
Right.
So yeah. it's like, oh, wait a second. This might not be quite as simple
right.
as we think. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he's getting fat.
He's getting fat.
So yeah. he's clearly mm-hmm. eating food provided to him by the other woman.
At the cafe, yeah.
The other woman.
That's right. And then he makes an excuse about why he's going to leave. And yeah, he goes, he has a date with so-and-so at the bar.
Yeah.
Or, you know, he said a mate at the pub. Yeah. So we don't know what's up.
So then Pam goes into labor.
yeah.
And... his stomach pain is increasing.
Right. Well, I mean, he makes right? that phone call and he tells
yeah,
him,
he's yeah, in the call box yeah, in the phone booth.
And I was thinking, what is it? What is that? No, it's too high for appendicitis. It's not kidney stones.
Yeah, you were kidney stones.
Yeah,
and I was like that's kidney stones is in your back.
Yeah, exactly. So, but indigestion, is the cafe girl poisoning him?
right. Is there some sort of arsenic thing happening?
yeah.
Is his hair falling? What is the deal? So the sisters arrive. Sister yeah, Julian and Sister Hilda right. show up at their
Pam's.
Apartment, and Sister Julian notices that George is in some distress.
Yeah. She decides to examine him. We learn, of course, that she thinks she can't really
His
find anything.
Pulse is a little high, but
yeah,
he's,
high
other than that, he's
is,
totally
yeah,
normal.
She gets Doc Turner involved, and Doc Turner can't even find anything. So all this is happening while Pam's trying to give birth.
Pam, just get it out.
Yeah. yeah. George. Oh, my God. Because the pains are getting worse for him.
Right. So then Dr. Turner says, I think you just have some anxiety. And I was like, what?
Yeah. Because we've never had the sympathy.
No,
labor.
No. Yeah. And the baby is born. Yeah. It's a girl. And his pain is gone.
Yeah.
Unusual. So, huh.
And he doesn't care about the gender of the child. He just cares that it's out.
That it's a baby. Yeah. so then... Dr. Turner points out that he says, I think what it is the grief over the lost baby yeah. and the anxiety over the new baby. You are handing a phantom pregnancy, also known as a couvade.
Yeah. And I also thought it was interesting. He says, you just have a, Dr. Turner says, it just demonstrates
yes.
you have a
yes.
profound connection
to your wife.
To your wife. So, gentlemen out there. if you want to demonstrate your profound connection to your...
Have phantom pregnancy.
There you go. Exactly.
Oh,
crave
my gosh.
Bacon. Have pains. And,
yeah, there are so many things involved in the phantom pregnancy.
The other part of this storyline that I liked was, you know, we don't often spend a lot of time with the children, the babies, I should say.
Oh, yes.
And we did twice with him.
Yes.
You know, and
with
just,
him, like, yeah. loving on the baby.
Exactly. There's no dialogue. There's nothing in the scene. All kinds of things are being said, just the way he's holding the child, and the way he's looking at the
gazing.
Child, and the way that we're spending time. Exactly.
At her.
And that was nice too, because we don't always do that.
Right. Yeah. It was just
I
yeah. It was
moments.
A beautiful, like, we're watching them start their bond.
Yeah. yeah. So. And I wonder if he's going to continue to crave bacon, because once you go bacon, you don't go back.
Exactly. So. You're telling me.
Mm-hmm. All right. That was sweet, though. All right. Yeah. So we got to get to Lucille and Cyril, because this is, you know, blah, blah, boom.
Hubba.
That's right. Handsome young man. Of course, Phyllis's car goes on the fritz.
Yep.
You know, I thought it was great that they had Sister Frances know about cars because of dad.
Yeah.
I thought she was going to get out and fix it, to be honest. I thought that would really, that would be nice to have her as a mechanic.
I know. It would be. Yeah. That would be really fun.
And it would be great because, you know, she's wearing her habit and you can't see all the grease stains. I thought it was perfect, but no, it didn't go that way.
No, it didn't.
So,
Fred says, I can't fix your car. And he says, I know someone who has a mechanic who comes highly recommended. A mechanic highly recommended? Gold dust, says Phyllis. And I'm with her.
Yeah. Yeah, for anybody who's going to recommend a good mechanic, that would be helpful.
So Cyril is this mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
He meets Lucille because he's causing a ruckus.
Yeah, causing ruckus. And what's the other term she used? Because he was blocking the path or something. I can't remember.
He's creating a hazard or something.
Blocking
the path.
You know, instantly. And I love that they kept looking back at each other, you know, stealing glances here and there.
Mostly him stealing at her.
Uh-huh. But mm-hmm. she did. She did.
But sure. she was reluctant in her attraction. Mm-hmm. Let's put it that way.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Monica Jones serves the last cherry macaroon to Cyril.
Uh-huh.
She was extremely hesitant to do that, too, let's point out.
Yeah, but that's how big of a deal it was.
Exactly!
And then, yeah, and then...
Macaroons has the whole, in the name of love, or flirting.
Well, and it has the whole conversation about the car and the blood, and the heart, and the, you know, spark of it, and the whole thing, and how they're like people.
Yes. Obstruction. Just hopping in. That was the name of the term.
Yeah,
blocking the path. Obstruction.
Obstruction.
That's it.
So,
right.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting, too. And I like when Monica Joan goes off on these things because she just, her whole face lights up and everything.
There's a whole world in there.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, because we get to see her so often, she's confused or she's addled about something. Mm-hmm. And when she lights up
or
like
upset.
That. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. When she's lights up like that, she's so infectious. I get excited by that. I love it when she's in that state.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nice to see the Cyril help to create that, and you know, they created a bond very quickly, and that bond turns into making her a matchmaker. She's hell bent on heaven sent on
getting
them together.
Yeah, so talk over dinner.
Oh my God, that was great. You know, touting him, lauding him, you know, doing everything she can to make him look great in Lucille's eyes. And then, you know, Val and Trixie get in on the thing.
Oh my gosh, they were not at all subtle.
Yeah. That was fun to see.
Are you team Cyril? Oh, yes, indeed. Interesting. Okay, so Lucille helps him. Phyllis's car is going to be out for a couple of days. Can we intermingle these two stories?
Yeah, sure,
Because they go that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
I sort of had this as the ladies have suitors was my storyline.
Yes, they're rude.
So her car is out for 2 to 3 days, and Sergeant Wolf offers to drive Phyllis around on her rounds.
Yeah.
Asks her out on a date, like point blank. I'd like to spend more time with you. Oh, look at the time. Look, we're here. Oh, goodness. Thank you very much. Slams the door and runs away.
Yeah. And the third time rebuked, because we kind of a rebuke, not a rebuke so much.
The opening with the ice cream.
Well, I'm talking about, last episode. Now this episode with the ice cream, the little olive branch, so to speak, or something. And then, you know, this is the straight out, I'm going to be a ask her, and she can't even, and you know, it's Phyllis too, because usually she's so forthright. And,
yes.
And I, you know, and then she did even fess up that she's being cowardly.
Right. Mm-hmm. So in that same conversation she was having with Lucille, she says he asked her, so Lucille helps Cyril start the car. He burns his hand because his mind was on other things.
Like what? I don't know. What?
It's her. His mind is on her, John. He asks her to a dance, she declines because she says, I can't be distracted, and then they dance in the street, right?
While he can be distracted by her, she can't be distracted by him.
Correct, yes. And I said, if you can't be distracted, just become a nun. I mean, why are you a lay midwife? If that's the deal, then I don't understand.
Well, her work is important to her.
Sure, you can be distracted. There's this thing called time off. What?
Especially when he's such a good-looking man.
When he's such a hottie patati. So. Yeah, I had a big smile on my face when they were dancing in the street. Mm-hmm.
I just want to tell you, guys, we skipped over a little bit. So when they have the conversation, Lucille and Phyllis at night in the bed and everything, and they have that conversation, I just loved that because it harkened back to the Barbara-Phyllis relationship.
When yes. Would,
so I hope they explore that a little bit more. I think it's great when they get Phyllis and the younger, the two generations, and I thought it was interesting that they both had the same issue.
Yeah, so Cyril asked me to a dance, and I said no. Phyllis said, I'm being a bit of a coward. Yeah. I should face the music. As should you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great little moment indeed. So then Lucille very boldly calls him on the phone.
Well, I know how forward. But how else is she?
Please distract me. Distractions can make life more interesting, Courtney says.
Yes, they can.
Hello. So she calls him and says, "Let's go on a date."
We didn't hear all that, but we assume that's what happens, of course, because
what we see next is she's dolled up and ready to go with some big hair and a yellow dress.
All right, so what did you think, ladies, the dress? What do we think of that?
Okay, my sofa in the 60s, the sofa I currently have, I've reupholstered it twice, getting on a third time. Its original fabric was the fabric of Lucy's dress.
Okay, but wait, she looked great, though, right?
I loved it. Mm-hmm. She looked fabulous. She had some very high hair.
Yeah. Okay. Big hair. I didn't really know that.
And what Trixie, Val says, you look exactly like you, except with bigger hair and a wink.
This was great, too, again, because we've had a couple of episodes now where the ladies have been, well, and it's usually Trixie fixing up Val with the hair and doing the pins. And, you know, we have... Lucille has been there, but she hasn't been the one that's been, she's been to the side or whatever and participating. Right. And even the last time with the hula hoop dance, it's kind of, but here it was all about her and getting her ready. And I thought that was great too.
Yeah. So. Indeed.
And then when she's outside waiting and he comes up in the sidecar, first thing I thought of, oh, that hair is going to, I don't know what that's going to do to the hair. Is that what you were thinking?
I would have worn that dress too, Anna. Yes. And Courtney says, I was so scared her hair would blow off.
Exactly.
Off. Uh-huh. She was adorable. And there were little curls that were sort of, you know, running rampant as they went down the street. She was,
where's
the scarf?
Exactly. I thought for sure she'd run back in and get it. Or more likely, Trixie would run
or
out.
With,
exactly. Because Trixie knows these things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but that didn't happen. But I guess, but it was nice to see her. You know, I thought it was also great that he comes in that sidecar and she has to figure out how to get in. He's helping her into that.
Yeah.
And then as we're driving away.
That was a little difficult getting in and out of that sidecar.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was precarious. In a dress.
Absolutely. And I thought it was another thing. He was a mechanic. You couldn't have borrowed a car?
Right. And Courtney says, I think Cyril should have warned her that there would be a motorcycle situation.
Yes,
absolutely. A gentleman would.
All right. So
a gentleman would.
Are we getting a clue that he's not such a gentleman?
Anybody else see the coming ups?
And why was there not... he had goggles. Why did they not have anything for her?
I'm hoping that they weren't going any more than about 20 miles an hour
around the
corner.
That's what I was thinking, is they can't be going that far and they can't be going that fast.
Yeah.
That's probably what happened. So... All right, do we want to talk any further about Phyllis and Sergeant Wolf? So we know that that's going to happen. So she's going to be brave. But we don't know if she's going to be brave to say yes or to say no to put an end to it.
Oh, for God's sake, she has to say yes. Don't be ridiculous.
All right. So you're making that...
I'm making that prediction.
Okay, good.
Although, again, coming ups.
Right, I know. So I don't know.
Phyllis has something happen.
We also have a little bit more with... can we move on to Trixie and...
And the cervical smears? It sounds so weird coming out of my mouth. We're going to call it cervical. We're going to say it in American English. Sorry. So this test is a big deal.
Yeah, this is the beginning.
The first woman who had it is a vanguard. She is saving lives. I mean, that is how seriously they take this. Mm-hmm. And Trixie is just all about, like, making it happen, right? Mm-hmm. She really wants to be there. Dr. Turner needs help, and Mrs. Porter, that was her name, the first patient.
Which was...
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about that for a second. So the first person that we see has the test, and it seems like, you know, again, the juxtaposition of how Dr. Turner does this test.
Very proper.
And, you know, very, you know, it's like, almost like, okay, we're done, you know, mm-hmm. boom, boom, boom. And then, of course, the comment is she's had worse things.
I've had worse up there, believe me.
I'm going, wait, what? What?
Hold on.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they receive a commendation on the clinic, and Trixie wants to do work at the Women's Advice Clinic, which right. I think she's totally going to shine there.
Yeah.
She, not that she doesn't shine where she is, right, but clearly it's a calling for
yeah,
her.
Yeah, absolutely.
We talk more about so, calling for the right. nuns, mm-hmm. so yeah.
Mm-hmm. And being a vocal advocate, let's say. Yeah, yeah. I think this is great for her, because I think, you know, first of all, it you know, we see... Vi stepping out and taking on a role of
as counsel,
as spokesperson, etc.
Right,
and then we could see this for her, for Trixie, you know, stepping into a larger world, more responsibility, all that kind of stuff. I think that obviously has got great grist for the mill.
Yes,
if they sort of decide to go down that, and even saying Sister Frances said the same thing.
yeah, just one quick thing about sure. Trixie. So she's looking at the bridal magazine. Did you catch that? So she's in bed. It was a no dialogue right. moment. She's looking at the bridal magazine, kind of puts it down with right. disgust, mm-hmm. like, I'm over men, at least.
Closing
you
the
know,
book on frivolous things, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you know, making a choice
more
to
substantive.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Do...
Which is, again, who are we? That's going back to that thing. I saw myself, maybe people viewed me as this, and now I'm choosing something else.
Yeah.
Or
being given something else.
Right,
to...
exactly. And Sister Frances does the same thing.
Yeah.
I keep saying Saint Frances.
Saint Frances.
Sister Frances. So she can't even speak, which I, it was like, I again, another thing, I'm shocked. What? What do you mean she can't? She seems to be doing fine in front of
yeah.
everybody. But I guess, obviously, it's a big difference between that and in front of a crowd who are all staring at you.
Picture the audience naked.
Yeah.
That, maybe... Say it to a nun.
Yeah, I thought that was an odd thing, Val.
That was... hilarious. And I think my favorite moment of this episode was the nonverbal.
Oh, okay. This is when she's actually in front of everybody.
Sister Frances is speaking. Right. Val is standing in for
amongst everybody.
George, I believe it was, who didn't yeah. show up. And she's Frances is having trouble. Yeah. She's getting stuck. She's and Val just is like, you can do it. Gives her a little vocal encouragement,
vocal.
And then starts stripping, essentially miming a striptease.
Yeah. Saucy
to Sister Frances, which yeah. just I had to watch that three times. I laughed so hard at it;
yeah,
it
exactly.
killed me. We only have a couple minutes left,
yeah,
so
we got to get to our special.
Yeah, we do.
Then, so, all right. So that wraps up. Now we want to talk about. We started the conversation. We asked you guys' input, so we want to. Talk about some of the things that you sent in. So, Tamara?
Okay. So, let's see. Oh, God. Now my notes are mixed up. Okay. So, Anthony Harris, thank you for
yes.
writing in. This is the conversation about abortion and how it's been a topic a couple of times.
Yeah.
Last year, the three of us... So this is Anthony speaking. Last year, the three of you were saying that the stories were lacking their usual power at the same stage of this series as we are now. And of course, this is followed by a devastating loss. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that will happen this time as well. He says, after the abortion storyline, further tragedy would have had us most reaching for the bottle.
Right.
So... yeah, there's that.
Because we were talking last week about whether or not the stories were gripping enough, and was it legitimate or valid?
Yeah.
Criticism.
So his point is basically that
the same. It was the same last season.
Not only is it the same, but sometimes
so
we need a rest.
Yes. Okay. Good.
So
point.
I appreciate
good
that
point.
Aurelia says so again talking about the topic of abortion. Doctors and nurses in the UK are not allowed to bring religion into the equation. Pro-choice and pro-life terms are Americanisms, and in the main, British people have personal opinions on whether they agree with one side or another and keep it to themselves. Also, she says, our politicians don't really talk about it and would never use it as a political tool to garner support and votes. British superiority. That's what I'm going to say right there.
Mm-hmm.
Lucky, lucky you. Anna... Hey, Anna. Last week talked about how the epilogue really got her and made her very upset. And has a theory that maybe Valerie has had an abortion in the past, and maybe that's why it was
yeah.
so hard.
And maybe even gone to one of those
back alley
yeah, yeah.
practitioners.
Who knows? We don't know
yeah.
that, but it could be that.
And Helena Huang, hey, Helena, talks about how the subway driver last week's episode. Her husband was a subway driver, and so he should be used to seeing things come out of tunnels, but he wouldn't watch the baby come out. That cracked us all up. And Paolo Arteaga asks how we see the show, and it's super secret. We can't tell you.
And guys, before we wrap out, one more Closer Look edition. I was just doing some research online, and I mentioned the Lucille and Cyril thing.
Yeah.
I'm calling them Lucille, just that's their couple
nice,
names.
Nice,
Cyril.
That's the nice. I got it.
But the fandom is a little mixed on this, because a lot of people want to see Lucille with Valerie. Have you heard of this?
No, they want to see them together?
Yeah, a lot of people are shipping Lucille and Valerie, which is really interesting. So I don't
Cyril to Valerie?
No, Lucille and Valerie.
Lucille
I think
and
a
Valerie
female-female...
Sure.
I don't know if there's been hints of that or something, but...
No, none of this.
Interesting.
No, I've never seen any of you using anything
Mm-mm,
like that.
No.
Well, it looks like there's a large, or at least a, not maybe a majority of the fandom, mm-hmm. but a portion of the fandom that really wants to see Lucille and Valerie together. So if you're in that fandom, let us know in the comments.
Yeah, absolutely.
Super interesting.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know.
I haven't seen them hint at that or...
Mm-mm.
Be attracted to each other in any way.
Yeah, from Janine Pan, we see Valerie. Just tell Lucille you love her already, please.
Interesting.
I don't know. Let us know in the comments.
Okay.
That is interesting.
Huh. I haven't picked Mm-mm. up on anything like that. But Mm-mm. so, but are you hopeful for Lucille? And I know we had a little bit of on the coming up. But
right, a little coming
Cyril
up.
Cyril is not who she thought.
Not the man she thought he was. And there is an opinion I read this morning that Cyril might be abusive.
Whoa, what?
Yeah. Like that kind of man not the man I thought he was.
Wow. Okay, you heard that?
I did. I totally unsubstantiated.
Uh-huh.
But it was a theory, and that would be really upsetting.
So what does Courtney
says,
think about
what?
That? Courtney.
And Anna says, no, there's nothing there. I think this is in response to the Lucille and Val.
Oh, okay.
Story.
Right, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. I get that from Val, but not from Lucille. Agreed.
Yeah, I don't get that from Lucille at all.
Same.
But yeah,
same.
Maybe from Val. I don't even really get it from Val, but I mean, it's more likely from Val, but not Lucille.
No.
I don't see that.
No. And we already had the lesbian story.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
and not that we can't have another one, but I would rather have Patsy and Delia come back.
That's true. I would like that too.
I'd love to see Patsy and Delia come back.
And I think it would be interesting to see Lucille in a relationship with somebody. I don't care if you're a woman, but because I find her fascinating and, you know, her propriety.
Yes.
Since I think that makes for good drama as well.
Right, because it becomes conflict
exactly,
for her.
Exactly. Yeah. So how does she maneuver there? How does she navigate that? So I think that would be interesting.
I think we do miss Patsy and Delia, Diane.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, we got to wrap up.
Okay, so coming up, we saw that Phyllis is going to have maybe
lumbago
problems.
Or something, yeah.
Again, but I mean, it looked kind of serious.
It did.
And I don't know, what else?
Anthrax.
Oh, anthrax.
There's a hint of anthrax.
Oh, no!
What?
Anthrax! We gotta go, though. We really have to go.
Thank you, Jeff
is telling us.
That's it. All right, we gotta get out of here.
You can find Courtney at Stuart Starlet all over the interwebs. And I am at Tamara Berg on Twitter. My website's tamaracentral.com.
And I'm a ghost. So we'll be here next week, and we'll talk to you next time. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks, everybody.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only, not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.